I'm Gab, he's Jules. Blue skies over West London. Jules, we have a title race in the Bundesliga.
That's right.
We may have a title race in Paris, despite in France, despite the big win over the weekend. Yeah. We do not have title races in La Liga and in Serie A.
Nope.
But we have a title race.
Big one.
In the Premier League, a legit one, because Arsenal travel away to West Ham.
Yep.
They draw 2-2. I think it's fair to say this time it is 2 points dropped.
Yeah.
At the same time, City beat Leicester. We're going to talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah.
A little bit hairier than it should have been. But Jules, I heard, and I don't know if this is true because, you know, never trust the media, that this is the first time in the history of the Premier League that a team in first place let slip a 2-goal lead in consecutive weeks, which is what happened last week against Liverpool, and we were kind to them. We said, all right, it's a 0.1. This week against Arsenal, against West Ham, 2-0 up after 10 minutes.
Yeah, and then you drop 2 points because you drew 2-2, making on your own. You can only blame yourself. You know, this is on you, on Arsenal, the way they let West Ham coming back into the game with that penalty and the Partey mistake on that first goal. Saka missing a penalty, everybody misses a penalty, but it's true that if he scores, he's 3-1 up again straight after the break, and Arsenal, I don't think West Ham come back from that. And then,
especially West Ham's goal came 2 minutes later.
Exactly,
it looked to me like they were still a little bit rattled.
But when, with another big mistake from Arsenal, when you're defending a set piece and you clear the ball and everybody pushes up, which is the right thing to do, so you don't step too deep, everybody pushes up to put the other team's players offside. You have to be very aware of what's around you so nobody who is onside then gets a clear chance. And that's exactly what happened with Bowen. Tierney maybe should have marked him. Gabriel should have marked. Someone should have shouted that Bowen was on his own. And instead, it's a ball over the top from Benrahma, I think it was. And then the finish by Bowen, who's a decent finish, but it's just a goal that you should not concede for a team like Arsenal. And then that's cost them dearly.
You mentioned Partey there. I think we do need to pick on him a little bit because this is the guy who, this is your veteran leader in midfield, right? This is the guy who's been there, who's done that. He's your warrior in the middle of the park. You could almost understand if Odegaard or whatever has a brain fart or Saka. Thomas Partey, this is not supposed to be doing this.
No. And you know, I mean, you can lose the ball. Everybody loses the ball at some point because could be a lack of concentration because the opposition player can just play it well and just sprint ahead of you or just barges at you and the referee doesn't give it. But to lose the ball that way by trying to do like a little sombrero, a little flick, over rise, whether there's handball or not, I don't care. You just can't lose the ball trying to be fancy in that area of the pitch. It's so dangerous, just in front of your own box. It's gone. Hoof the ball on the M25 if you want to, if you're not sure, or try to get a foul. I don't know, anything. Play backwards, but don't try that little flick at that time of the game when you're so much under control. That's what really annoyed me the most.
The handball, or alleged handball from Declan Rice, it all depends what pictures you look at. And I think the reason VAR didn't strike off the goal is they said, I see different things in different pictures. It happens sometimes, you know. Like, I thought Zinchenko, this is a different team without Zinchenko.
Yeah, for sure.
Asking Kieran, and I was kind of surprised that he didn't make an adjustment. He almost asked Tierney to play the Zinchenko role. But he's not that sort of player.
No.
Why not? I mean, I guess it would have been 6 of 1, 1/2 dozen of another. But like, to me, this was the game where you, if you say, all right, if we want to play that way, we make an adjustment. We play maybe Xhaka at left back or whatever. If we want that left back to step into midfield that way. If not, just let Tierney be Tierney down the wing and we'll beat them another way. And certainly at 2-0 up, you have the option to do that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think since the last time he played, and he hasn't played a lot at all.
Boxing Day was his last start, I think.
But I think there's an improvement there. You could see that he's clearly working on it at training and they're working with him at training to make him a bit more of an inverted fullback. But yeah, it's not the level as Zinchenko. But there's not many fullbacks who can play like Zinchenko anyway, because Zinchenko is not a fullback. He plays there, but he's not a fullback. With Tierney, he's a left back. So I don't know what the answer is. Yeah, of course you can play Xhaka or someone else. The problem is, you also work at training every day with Xhaka in midfield, and with Tierney has worked with the back four defensively all season. So it's disturbing too if you change Xhaka and put somebody else in midfield. I don't know. I think Tierney was the easiest solution, but yeah, without the same outcome for sure.
Right. Obviously, so much hinges on when these two teams, Manchester City and Arsenal, face each other later this month. The gap is 4 points. City have a game in hand and a much better goal difference. Personally, and maybe slightly easier schedule, though personally, I think there's going to be more twists and turns. Yeah, we're going to play the percentage game. I'm going to go right out and say it. For me, I think you still have to go and win the games. I'm still going to give Arsenal the slightest of edges. I'm going to go 51-49. How's that?
Yeah, I'm with you. Right now, you would rather have the extra 4 points that Arsenal have than City because those points are there on the board.
All right, Jules, it's Monday morning. This is Monday morning quarterbacking, second-guessing managers' decisions.
Yeah.
But what I want to try to establish here is this down to Arteta making some decisions that, you know, maybe with hindsight, right? We mentioned the Tierney thing, some of his substitutions that should have been different. Or is this also down to West Ham playing well? Or is this simply that it's just hard to keep the same level throughout a season?
You know, I thought in the first half, once Arsenal went 2-0 up, that they were maybe too much in control instead of just keep putting them under pressure and keep going. And it felt at times that they were just happy to pass the ball and just keep the pace of the game the way they wanted and just control everything. Which,
that's good, isn't it?
Yeah, but why don't you try and just keep that pressure on that you had for the first 20 minutes?
Because it's tiring and you have to pace yourself between now and the end of the season?
True, maybe. But I think the problem is like that, is that then you 2-0 up, you concede one, it's 2-1, and then suddenly it's a very different dynamic. I don't think West Ham are good. I told you, I don't think Moyes is good this season. But they have physicality. And then if you just let them a little bit back in, that physicality, as we saw, especially once they scored that penalty, then they can make it just awkward for you because they're always there. You can't really shake them off.
Can we give Moyes a bit of credit for the fact that they're relentless and still in the game? Look,
they're relentless, but Arsenal let them back in the game.
West Ham aren't
going to
go down this season, right? West Ham are actually the typical club that you want to play at this stage of the season because the danger's gone. They're not going to go down. The only motivation is...
They're still quite close from the bottom three.
Yeah, they're not going to go down.
No, no,
you've
no,
seen
I know,
some of the teams in the bottom three.
Yeah.
They can win the Europa Conference League.
Yeah.
And they had a game on Thursday. They have another one coming up next week. So, you know, it works both ways. These, I don't want to say they're demotivated, but these teams that, you know, they're away from home at Arsenal. They have nothing to lose. This is who you want to... Sorry, but, right, yeah. They're home against Arsenal. Like, a point's a great result, whatever.
Yeah,
if they lose, it's no biggie. This is who you want to be playing at this stage of the season.
Yeah.
And so, for Moyes to have them up like that, I think we can give him some credit.
No? You can.
All right, okay. I will. You're going to be mean. So
no, like, what's the credit? Well, tell me something that he did in that game that earned them a point. Nothing. What did he do? Nothing.
Well, West Ham didn't let their heads drop when they're 2-0 down. You're 2-0 down at home against Arsenal.
Yeah.
You've already got a pretty restless fan base, many of whom would like to see a different manager in charge.
Yeah, rightly so. Thank you.
I think there's something to be said for keeping your team in the game.
I see the Paquette, who is our friend, and I feel for him because, yeah, he gets the penalty, but before, he just doesn't get the ball. He's just like, I mean, again,
he
throws in.
He won that
throws
penalty.
In is not for me. This is not my football. But hey, maybe West Ham fans and West Ham people like it. I don't know.
All right, let's talk about Arsenal, though, because one mystery for me is they spent close to 30 million euros in January on Kvyat, who, you know, comes from Spezia, hard defender, to add some depths to the center back position. Because once you get past Saliba, who's out, by the way, when is this guy ever coming back?
I don't think Arteta hasn't given a timeline or anything. So
why do managers not give timelines?
I don't know. Maybe.
Are we going to see him again this season?
I hope so, because they miss him badly.
They miss him a lot. It's not a knock on Rob Holding's head.
No. But
he's had ups and downs. I know we made fun of the hair. We made fun of, but you know, I think he's contributed when he's played, not in a good way in this one. But what I do wonder is, you signed Kivior as a center back, and you're going to tell me, oh, but left-footed center back. You'd be, so what?
I would play two left-footed center backs without a problem.
Well, why hasn't this guy, I don't think he started a game in the league for Arsenal.
No, I don't think so. I think he's only come on.
Why? I don't know.
There's maybe a process to learn the way Arteta wants him to play at center back. I don't know. You know, maybe they feel that he's not ready yet. Again, for these kind of clashes, maybe you can start something on Friday night at the Emirates. Then maybe it's easier to play him than away at West Ham at 2 o'clock on a Sunday under the pressure that you were after dropping the points at Liverpool. I don't know. There must be a reason why. Maybe he's just not ready. Maybe Arteta likes a right foot, left foot pair of centre backs, which a lot of managers do. A lot of managers don't want to play two left footed centre backs. Maybe that's the reason. I don't know.
All right.
But could you have upgraded on Holding as well in January, maybe?
Well, about two centre-backs.
I don't know.
And Leandro Trossard.
I guess you have Tomiyasu. Tomiyasu being ruled out for the whole season is a blow. Because you could also have played White instead of Saliba and Tomiyasu at right-back. Not having Tomiyasu and Saliba at the same time of the season is a huge blow, to be fair.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's catching up with them a little bit. Because, you know, they are short on numbers in that role. Jose, it's normally you who goes through the substitutions and talks about
but
how
like, today you're not happy with the substitutions.
I just don't understand this. I don't understand it because it's 2-2. You've brought on Georgie and Trossard. Fine. No argument there. You need to get back into the game. Weirdly, you brought on Trossard for Gabriel Jesus, which we've touched upon before, which I thought was a bit, you know, maybe it was odd. Maybe you could have brought Trossard on for somebody else. Whatever. Partey, I think we agree, had to come off at that stage of the game.
Yeah.
But then 5 minutes to go, I would assume, okay, you're going for it. You're going to put on a center forward. Here comes Eddie. No. He sends on Reece Nelson for Martinelli. And this is where I wonder, is Arteta superstitious?
Yeah, you think?
We know so many people in football are superstitious, right?
Because
why? What does Nelson offer? And you can say, Martinelli was tired, schmired.
Don't know, but it's
I'm sure Martinelli can play for 90 minutes.
Yeah, but it's
and
a
give you a better
profile. But if you're right back, if you're Soufal, for example, and you've had Martinelli for 85 minutes, and then someone different arrives and plays against you.
So Martinelli dribbles at you and beats you, whereas Nelson does what? Hits the ball into space and then chases after it?
You've prepared the game working on what Martinelli's game is about when you're Soufal, right?
Right.
You studied Martinelli before the game. So what Martinelli does with the ball, which size he goes, what he does, you prepare all of that. And you've got a different player now that you don't know as well coming at you. This is also why
you don't know as well because he never plays.
Yeah, exactly. But maybe you're right. Maybe there's a bit of superstition. I think there's also something like
it's superstition because he scored that goal
against Bournemouth. Yeah.
Yes, which you know we all said was a turning point in the title. I think that's all. Look, I'm not going to knock Arteta. Obviously, on balance, it is what it is. I just thought that was odd. The same way I thought it was odd. Nketiah may be what he is, but you know. To send him on before Nketiah, I thought was odd. That's all I'm going to say. I'll just leave it. I'll just leave it at that. If you're Arteta now, there's a dynamic in the title race where you will have played an extra game, maybe gone 7 points clear of City.
Yeah,
City still have that weird calendars in this country, but. They have that weird Brighton game, which we don't know when they're going to play it. Presumably, they have to play it before the last day of the season.
Yeah, they will, because they will play after the semi-final of the Champions League. I don't think there's a time before they will. If they qualify for the semi-final of the Champions League, then after that, after those two games, I think there's probably space like in mid-May, maybe it's just before
And they're not scheduling it now in case City get knocked out of the Champions League and don't play the semi-finals.
They've been playing every 3 days anyway.
No, I know. But it's just such a...
It's strange. No,
it's an unusual situation. And I think the scheduling of that game will also matter a lot to Brighton because obviously Brighton are on fire right now.
Yeah.
Brighton could be in a position to really compete for something very important.
Yeah.
They could miss out on Europa League. It can be late in the season and things kind of peter out.
And also, by the time Arsenal go to the Etihad in 10 days, so Wednesday week, is that what you said? So in 10 days, they will have two games over City because they play Southampton on Friday.
That's what I said, They could be 7 points clear.
Yeah, yeah. But they could even have been 10 had they won at, obviously, you know, 9, sorry, if they'd won at West Ham.
It could have been 11 if they'd also won
it. You know, I mean, like the sense that this is the league final, potentially it could be the league final, and yet they don't have the same games at all. Like two games, it's a lot. Big difference. I've never seen anything like that before, and it's a exceptional season from a City point of view, because they can still win the treble and they might do. But yeah, it's still strange that we will look at this game and potentially Arsenal have a 7 points cushion, but we say it all depends on this game almost. When the 7 points clear, it'd be weird.
Was it a few years ago that Liverpool, I think, had a bunch of games in hand?
Yeah, that rings a bell.
This kind of stuff.
It's just a shame. It's just a shame because you would love them to be both on, you know, 33.
It's a peculiar English quirk. Because I'm old, I remember many, many, many years ago, they used to have endless replays, not just in the FA Cup, but in the League Cup too. So, you know, you would get to April and there'd be teams that had played like, you know, five or six games in hand. It was absolutely demented. And then they'd had situations where, you know, they'd play on Saturday and then play again on Tuesday. And then on Thursday night and then Saturday again. Like, you know, different time, game, or sterner men.
But what do you think should be Arteta's message now to the players? So he was, you would think he was unhappy after the game on Sunday. So maybe the hairdryer treatment there. But then Friday, Southampton at the Emirates, that has to be a win anyway. Because if you don't win that, then really, like, you don't deserve even to be champions. But is it like, hey, stay positive? We still right now, they still have their destiny into their own hands.
I feel it has slipped away from Arsenal. Doesn't mean they can't reach out and grab it again. Hmm. But I think the psychological weight of those 4 points dropped against Liverpool and against West Ham. I mean, that weighs heavily. And I wonder too if at this stage of the season, you know, the fact that this is all they're playing for. You know, we can say, yeah, but City have the Champions League and so it's a distraction, and mentally. It also means City don't spend too much time second guessing themselves in the league. You know, they don't they don't have time for that.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
no,
they're
I
like,
all right,
screw this, the league, whatever. We win it every year anyway. It's almost like there's less pressure on them, if that makes any sense. And I think, like, ordinarily, I'm not one to bring up mentality and psychology, because I think 98% of it is nonsense when it comes to professional athletes. However, I think in this case it may apply, because as we've been saying all year, this is a very, very young team. These aren't players who are used to winning. Yeah. Other than Partey, Jesus, and Zinchenko, you know, I think you'll find very, very few trophies in there.
That's why I think it's still a learning process. And you can't, I mean, if you compete with City already, which is maybe one of the greatest teams for sure in Premier League history, in English football history, they've won 4 of the last 5. You're still in there.
And then they add Erling Haaland.
They add Haaland, and they're still behind you, which I think in itself is incredible from an Arsenal point of view. And you still, this is all new to you. This is all like, you've never really been in that position before. So, and you're learning. The issue is that you don't learn from the mistakes you made against Liverpool, because you still make some against West Ham. Okay, I get that. But this is still part of it. And I think they still have to be positive and believe. And because if they start questioning themselves and, oh, maybe we're letting this slip, we're not there, we're not this, we're not that, then for sure then they're gonna beat you.
I think, though, one key thing that Arteta is going to do, if he hasn't done it already, is he has a word with Thomas Partey and reminds him of his role in this team, make sure that he's okay. Look, as you said, if he just made a mistake, it's fine.
Yeah.
Is there something off the pitch that may be bothering him? Is there, you know, is something going on? Because you need Thomas, you need the real Thomas Partey out there.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
otherwise it is a lot tougher. With all the love in the world for Georgie, you know, it's a different
Georgie's
team.
Okay against Southampton on Friday.
He's okay in winning the Euros too. But in this team, for the way they play, no. And you can also make the point that if I have Georgie in the middle of the park, and then I go back to the Xhaka left-back option, if Georgie's not there and it's Tierney stepping in the middle of the park rather than Zinchenko, that's one less passer I have.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that might have been a game where maybe you choose to take a different approach. But I think at this stage, if Arsenal win the title, the only way it's happening if Thomas Partey plays a big part in it in a positive way between now and the end of the season. Yeah. All right, enough Arsenal. How about some quick hits instead?
Let's go, guys.
It doesn't move the needle because, as we'll get into later, Borussia Dortmund screwed things up something awful. But, Jules, Bayern are held 1-1 at home by Hoffenheim. Tuchel has lost as many games in 15 days as Nagelsmann lost in 30 weeks. And Tuchel is very, very angry.
He's very angry. Not happy at all after that.
Go on YouTube, find the interview he gives with Archie. He's just livid,
you can tell. And you don't want to cross him. He all started so well, you know, the Dortmund win. And then he looked like, okay, yes, there was issues with Nagelsmann and Tuchel is going to sort it out and he's going to do this. And, you know, we believe we are big Tuchelista, we always say. And then they are of the cup in a game that they should probably not have lost so they can play again and don't lose against Freiburg. But still, they lose it. Then there's the City game. And we've explained before that maybe the score doesn't reflect what happened in the game, but they still lose heavily 3-0.
But they still played well for an hour. Yeah, I don't understand why that doesn't carry over here. You're in a freaking title race.
This one was really dreadful.
And look, they could have won this game. They had the chances.
They would always have chances against Hoffenheim, even when they play badly.
But I think I was just surprised from Müller to De Ligt. De Ligt said that things can't get any worse. Yeah. They were all very pessimistic.
Yeah, it was all very gloomy, to be fair. And more Bayern gaps. Sadio Mane was suspended for one game for his punch on Leroy Sané. You could still see like Leroy Sané's lip still being swollen. Is everybody ready to move on?
So Tuchel is.
Yeah,
I think Bayern are. I think there's something here you can't sweep under the carpet. So reports in Senegal, in Sadio Mane's home country, say that Leroy Sané used a racist slur against him. German media have found no evidence of this. Bayern have done their internal investigation. I am pretty confident saying that Bayern have found no evidence of this. Otherwise, they would have taken much sterner action. So this means that in Senegal, people who read the Senegalese press are left with this racism accusation hanging over Leroy Sané. Mm-hmm. Leroy Sané can say, who cares? But I think he does care. Because nobody should have an unfounded allegation hanging over him. No. Leroy Sané's dad, by the way, you know who he is.
Suleiman
Sané, who's a Senegalese international.
Yeah. It would be strange from Leroy Sané to racially abuse a fellow countryman.
But leaving that aside, Sadio Mane, I think, now has to come out and say, yes, I was racially abused. Or no, I was not racially abused.
Yeah, Sadio Mane, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, Sadio Mane.
Yeah, yeah.
He owes it to his teammate. Yeah, if it didn't happen, you owe it to your teammate because that story's out there.
Yeah.
Erling Haaland grabs another 2 goals as Manchester City beat Leicester 3-1 to move within 4 points of Arsenal. Jules, this was way tighter than it should have been in the second half. And I wonder if Pep got a little too happy with his substitutions.
Yeah, maybe. Because
I don't need to see Calvin Phillips and Cole Palmer early in the game.
As soon as it changed, clearly the game kind of, not the momentum switched because they were still in control. But they let one goal go in. There could have been a penalty. They hit the woodwork as well. Madison threw on goal. So they stopped
taking shots. The last half hour.
They wanted to control the ball.
But they didn't control anything because Leicester put together like some crazy XG in the last half
crazy
hour.
Crazy chances, to be fair.
I think they got away with this one. Big time.
They got away with this one. And Erling Haaland now, you know, on the level of the Mo Salah record for a Premier League.
It's
important.
38 games. No, the record belongs to Alan Shearer.
Yeah.
And I know he had more games.
42 games. He scored 34 in 42.
We love Shearer. Enjoy the record.
Andy Cole as well?
It doesn't matter. For me, it's just Shearer.
34. So Erling Haaland, another brace.
Did Kevin Phillips also score some stupid amount of goals 1 year?
Maybe 30, I think it was. But yeah, well done to Haaland. Carlo Ancelotti, Reyes, Vinicius, and a bunch of others. And Real Madrid beat Cadiz away 2-0. Gab, anything of note in this game?
So it was interesting because this was kind of a B team.
Yeah.
And I thought they played really, really well. And I thought they also played pretty passing combination football. I thought Dani Ceballos, there he was, spraying balls. Like, hey, look, I'm Junior Modric here.
Asensio as well, man.
Asensio too. It's interesting. Obviously, you want to have Vinicius in there all the time, obviously, right? However, when he's not there, and Real Madrid have to pass the ball.
Yeah.
It just gives him a different dimension. And I'm wondering if he's going to be, rather than sort of the whole left-sided, lopsided, you know, attack that they have when he's there. I just wonder if this is an extra weapon that they can have. And, you know, gaining confidence, saying, you know, we can pass more than that. But yeah, they could have scored 4 or 5.
Yeah, easily.
Make way for more quick hits.
Yes.
First versus second in Ligue 1, and Paris Saint-Germain, with a bit of help from Abdul Samed's red card after just 20 minutes.
That's right.
Beat Lens 3-1. The gap is 8 points with 7 games to go. You ready to crown them champions, Jules?
I think so now. Yeah, I think so. 8 points, 9 over Lens, 8 over Marseille, 9 over Lens. It would be the 11th title. They're not playing well, PSG. They're struggling. And to be fair, the first 20 minutes before the red card, they're just not good. Lens are better, they press well, they recover the ball, PSG can't get out.
Openda unplayable.
And then even in the second half, even with 11 men 3-0 up, Lens still created a lot of chances in that second half, scored the penalty. So it was not very convincing, the win, but they won. I don't see them dropping all that many points now between now and the end of the season.
And Messi didn't get booed this time.
Or he maybe didn't, he scored a lovely goal with a great 1-2 with Mbappe. Mbappe scored also after 3 games without a goal. This is not a good PSG team. This is maybe the worst in terms of style and play. The worst since the Qatari took over.
Is that why you're wearing a pre-Qatari Paris Saint-Germain shirt?
Nice. Of course, you know. The real ones, no. But yeah, the most important was the win. And for Christophe Galtier as well, after the week that he had and all the accusations of racism and everything around him, I think he was pretty relieved to have won that game because he would have got even worse otherwise. We mentioned this earlier, Gab, but Borussia Dortmund self-destructed in the most dramatic way on Saturday against Stuttgart.
This is like a cartoon.
That's what they do all the time, though.
No, they don't. They've beaten this. Terzic had them playing. They won a million games in a row.
Unreliable.
And now somehow the curse is back. they go 2-0 up. They play well. Daniel Malin's doing his thing. Alle opening the scoring. Then the guy gets sent off. I think it was like minute 39. Still in the first half, and like, oh look, we have more than an hour to play, or we have like, you know, 50 odd minutes to play 11v10.
Yeah,
this is easy. We're playing against this rubbish team fighting to avoid relegation and whatnot. And then the defensive gremlins come out.
Come back. Yeah.
It goes to 2-1, then 2-2.
You can tell they're shaky then, yeah.
Yeah, then in the second minute of injury time, Gio Reyna comes on for his cameo appearance, scores a goal, makes it 3-2, game over. Nope. Minute 96, Rafael Guerrero, I can't remember if it was the second or third goal, because I've blocked this out of my mind. No, it was the second goal.
Yeah.
Where Rafael Guerrero basically like delivers a lovely assist to an opponent. The last one, I think, was... the first one, Emre Can, an unlucky deflection, fine.
Yeah, but then all avoidable.
But the rest, the last one, no, it was the young kid, Koulibaly. Why is he in there? It's like his first game for the club, whatever.
Yeah.
It was awful, 3-3, massive, so disappointing. Barcelona will likely win La Liga, but they're not scoring. 0-0 away to Getafe means it's 3 games without a goal. And Jules, that had not happened since the very end of the Frank Rijkaard era some 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And if you count his games with Poland, Robert Lewandowski, 1 goal in 9. And that was against Elche, so I'm not sure it should count.
Yeah, no, not good. And they had chances, of course, and they hit the post twice in the same move. But overall, it was not good enough. And you know what? If I'm Ansu Fati or Ferran Torres and I see Alejandro Balde playing ahead of me as a left winger, it was not really sure because Jordi Alba was playing at left back. And it was very strange from Xavi as a starting 11, I thought. Like, how do you feel? Like, come on, what? It doesn't count on them.
No, hey, look, there's no Pedri, no De Jong, no Dembele. We know all that, but come on.
Like, this was so poor. And you're right, 3 games, the Clásico against in the Cup, and then the last 0-0, Girona and Geta. It's not like if they drew 0-0 against Atletico Madrid and, I don't know, like another really good team. This is 2 games they drew 0-0 when really they should have played better and scored goals.
Yeah, you don't want the season just to peter out like this.
It's terrible. And staying with Barca, right now, Joan Laporta, as we're recording the show, Gab, is holding a press conference to kind of explain himself and the club, I guess, over the whole Negreira situation and latest information.
So Well, first of all, would it help if you give a press conference if you don't say everything you were going to say at the press conference the day before? Because from what I can tell, like, he says, like, you know, they haven't found anything because there's nothing to find.
Yeah, they will never find anything.
And they'll never find anything because it doesn't exist. Okay, fine. You said that already. I suppose the new thing is he says that, well, and he also repeated that there's a smear campaign against the club, yeah. Conspiracies left, right, and center. He did drag Real Madrid's name into it, which I think shows that the Super League alliance of Real Madrid, Barcelona, and Juventus, he's given gone. The way things yeah. are going, is Real Madrid last man standing. and then he did what lawyers do. We're going to sue everybody, and the damages are going to pay. They're going to be astronomical.
Astronomical.
I don't think, from what we've seen so far, and again, this is going on as you say it, I don't think he looks good so far. There's ways to defend the club, but kind of doubling down on this.
Yeah.
How about you deal with it and you say, hey, we paid him a little bit for advice. Other clubs are doing the same thing. And then in the 3 years that I wasn't there, Bartow and Rossell decided to pay him a ton of money.
Yeah.
We're going to investigate that. Simple.
Yeah.
Do that.
Unless he's not really...
Exactly. Let's not go there.
Yeah.
Brighton put on a masterclass at Stamford Bridge as your boy Roberto De Zerbi outclasses Frank Lampard Jr. and Chelsea. Jules, were Chelsea just too busy looking ahead to the Champions League in Real Madrid?
Looking ahead to what? Oh, to come back from the two-goal deficit against Real Madrid on... Yeah, of course.
No, De Zerbi was really good. Yeah, Brighton were really good.
But, I mean, Chelsea are not good. Lampard is not good. I've said it many times. I'm going to say it again. And when he makes those silly changes and stuff, let's give a chance to people who don't play. Why? You're not in a you're not in a position right now to give a chance to people who don't, you know, who haven't been good this season, who don't deserve to play. You score a goal because you got lucky on the goal. And after that, you could hardly touch the ball. It could have easily have been, without Kepa at that kind of level, it would have been 5 or 6. And it would have been far more humiliating.
This is one of the worst performances that I can remember.
Oh, my God. Me too. And in a very long time. Not just this season.
No.
Napoli are held at home by Verona. 0-0 but Gav. There are two reasons for Napoli to be happy.
Yeah. So it was one of those 0-0s where Napoli actually had 79% possession, which I don't even think was legal. Obviously, they rested players looking ahead. Osimhen did come on, played the last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Rattled the crossbar. How about that? Yeah. So that gives you a boost. And I think just as important, the president, De Laurentiis, reached kind of a peace deal with those ultras that were protesting them. He's basically abolished. They had a stupid loyalty card that the club had introduced. The ultras didn't like that, so they're scrapping that. And he said, you guys can bring your drums and your banners in. We're not going to check them first as if you're in school. And in exchange, they said, fine, we're going to go and support the crap out of the club against Milan on Tuesday, which is going to make...
We should see an amazing atmosphere then.
We should see a real Neapolitan atmosphere.
Great.
Lots of unavailables, but Manchester United nevertheless win away to Nottingham Forest to consolidate third place.
Yeah.
Jules, would you like to praise the two Antonys, Antony and Anthony Martial, or just be mean to Harry Maguire?
I will start with Maguire, who should have been sent off after 20 minutes for the handball and the first yellow card. I mean, the first yellow card is just like a rugby tackle. And then I don't know what he's doing with his arm on the corner. I don't know how VAR missed it. I mean, VAR is saying that it was crowded.
It was crowded with his own teammates.
Why is that? What kind of excuse is this? That's going to be another phone call from Howard Webb to apologize and one other VAR referee to be sacked. You know how much I don't rate Maguire. For Anthony, it's a goal and an assist. You take that. You take that for him, for his own confidence. There's still so many things that he should do better and should do more in this.
He's not playing up to his salary.
For sure. But at least you take that. It's still better than not doing anything. Spurs are blowing their top four chances, Gav, as they give up a 95th minute goal to Dongo Ouattara and lose at home to Bournemouth 3-2. I mean, come on, Tottenham.
So I think what makes headlines here is obviously Davinson Sanchez coming on and then being taken off. Fine.
Yeah,
but is there enough?
It's not nice. Rude.
Not nice. Well, you know what? I don't have an issue with Stellini doing that. I think he explained very well why he did that.
Yeah.
You know, he brought him on because the starter had been injured. He took him off because he wanted to put on another striker and they went back for it. That's fine. What I don't understand about Stellini is this. Is you say, we play really well and then we score. And then after we score, we sit back and invite on the pressure. Well, I'm sorry. Exactly. Oh, that has to change. It's been going on far too long. You've been there.
Yeah.
For 15 months, you were Conte's assistant, but you're in the middle of it, right? Presumably, that's not what Conte was telling him to do either. No. So I don't get that. I don't think it's good enough. And, you know, he's right. In the end, they pay the price for defensive errors. And by the way, it's not just poor Davinson Sanchez.
Yeah.
Look at Pierre-Emile Højbjerg's defending on the third goal.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff which
it's a lovely goal, though. Ouattara is a lovely, lovely. I mean, to come inside and just finish it like this at that time of the game, after coming on from on a sub 10 minutes before, 15 minutes before, it's an amazing goal. If that keeps them up, it's amazing.
It keeps them up. But how deflating does it have to be for Tottenham? In the weekend, when Newcastle lose as well,
terrible.
You're going for the top four. I mean, I even personally left them because I said, like, you know what? These players have pride. They have incentive to finish top four.
Yeah.
Instead, we go and we get this.
Imagine they miss out on Europe completely. Like, not even Europa League or, I mean, I guess the Conference League.
No, they'll get that. But yeah, it's ugly. Newcastle also slip up, Jules, falling 3-0 away to Aston Villa. Unai Emery has taken 22 of a possible 24 points in the last 8 games.
Incredible.
Could Villa actually get into the top four race?
I think the top four might be just a little bit out of reach, to be fair.
If you look Newcastle at, keep losing.
They won't, though. I mean, to be fair, they were well beaten by Villa. Villa played, it was a masterclass from Unai in terms of efficiency. Everything, the way they put them under pressure, but even if you finish fifth or sixth, even if you get Europa League, Europa Conference League, even if you're Villa, it's amazing. Only City have won more points in the last 8 games than obviously Unai, than Villa and Unai. I think since Unai arrived, only Arsenal and City have won more points than him. So they're third right now in the Unai Emery table, which I know doesn't mean anything, but still, it's an amazing achievement. And the game they lost against Arsenal at home, 4-2, when they could easily have got 1 point, if not 3. So it's great the way he got them played. Look at Jacob Ramsey. Look at Ollie Watkins, of course, who keeps scoring, like channeling his inner Erling Haaland. It's amazing. It's good. Well done. Well done for them. Really happy for him. Milan make 10 changes. That's right. Every player apart from Magic Mike against Bologna away and are held to a 1-1 draw after conceding, to be fair, in the first minute. Gab, I get that they want to rest players, but this could cost them a top four spot.
It could, but I'm not going to blame Pioli for doing this at all. You know, the only chance you have against Napoli is if you play with intensity. So give the players a week off. These guys, like you said, they gave up a goal early on. And then they go back and they created chances. Rebic, not good this season. No. Origi, not good ever. You understand. And yeah,
Has ratings on De Ketelaere. I mean, come
with De Ketelaere, what I will say is he's young. There's an upside. Maybe he'll harness his talent. Origi, unforgivable.
Definitely.
Unforgivable. A goal from Issa Abbas in the 5th minute of injury time condemns Benfica to a 1-0 away defeat to Chaves. Jules, 3 losses in a row, and Porto creep within 4 points. This is ahead of course, the big Champions League clash with Inter.
Yeah.
2-0 down from the first leg. Is the bottom falling out?
It looks like it, Gab, because they didn't play well. They didn't play well against Porto, and they lost the first game of this 3-game losing streak. You could say, and you were there, that at times they didn't play badly against Inter. But
no,
still
they were
pretty
bad against Inter.
But still, in the end, you concede 2 goals the way they do. It's unrecognizable, the team that played so well against PSG and Juventus in the group stage. Maybe they're tired. Maybe there's not enough rotation that Roger Schmidt did before.
I think it's been like this for a while.
Maybe mentally
here,
as well, yeah.
Also, just psychologically, ball over the top, your defensive leader, Otamendi, making a mistake. Leading to the goal. That's got to hurt you.
And if they get knocked out in the Champions League, which is, likely, let's say, I think psychologically that's a huge blow again. Guess what? Inter also lose, Gab, which means that just 2 of the 8 Champions League quarter finalists won this weekend. They lost to Monza 1-0 and down to 5th as well.
Yeah, I'm not reading too much into the fact that 2 of the 8 Champions League quarter finalists lost. I know people love coming up with theories. Oh, they're looking ahead to the weekend. Oh, it's a cup team. This is nonsense. Inter created a ton of chances in this game again.
Yeah. Again.
And couldn't finish again.
Yeah.
Now, that's, I think, all it really boils down to. You know, Monza played on the break, fine, credit to them. I supported Monza when I was a kid.
I know, and they had big wins or big draws this season.
Yeah, they're doing very well. You know, I had a little Fulvio Saini sticker when I was little.
Lovely.
Gigi Casiraghi also comes from Monza, of course, the prince, although he wouldn't stay there very long. But no, I don't think you're concerned about that, but it is a big loss. And whatever happens, you have to finish top four this season. Juventus throw up an absolute stinker against Sassuolo, losing 1-0. Jules, this time, Max Allegri making no excuses and says it's his fault as Nicolò Fagioli gently weeps on the bench. His mistake led to the goal, but still.
Yeah, but I mean, Grégory Defrel's goal, by the way, always good when a Paris-born and bred player scores a goal and wins a game like this for Sassuolo against Juventus. We've seen them playing that badly before, and somehow, sometimes they manage to find a way to win. Not this time. And you know what? I'm also worried for the Europa League game on Thursday, because I just don't think that right now they're in good form. The Lazio defeat, this defeat again this weekend.
Is this really bad that they played Milik and Vlahovic together up front? Fine, they got no service for them. The only positives is that, you know, Allegri's relented enough to give more time to the kids. This kid Barbieri made his debut
That's true.
Down the right flank. That's nice. You've got this next-gen team. Use it.
Yeah.
But I go back to Fagioli's tears. And I think there's an importance here of, in terms of identity, in terms of, you know, feeling something for the club. And this kid... He made a mistake. It happens. Yeah, it cost him a goal.
Yeah.
He obviously feels it. And that is important. I think if you're Juve, maybe start thinking about your identity a little bit more. This new Juve regime. Maybe think about players who have a motivation for the club. Don't think about, you know, oh, look, it's, you know, he's a free agent signing. Oh, let me get freaking Di Maria or Paredes. Yeah. Paredes.
I know, man.
You know, these people are there. These people are there for the money. Right. Yeah. And I'm not saying Fagioli plays for free, but you can tell, right? And look, it's not every foreign player, it's not every free agent. You can build up to it. But yeah, develop some identity and come back from that.
Yeah, and also I thought that with Wojciech Szczesny, of course, after the hard scare that he had in the Europa League, who didn't play, Perrin played in this game at the weekend. But we're happy that everything seems to be okay with Szczesny. So sticking with Juve, Gab, the Italian FA has suspended the partial stadium closure punishment inflicted on them after Romelu Lukaku was racially abused. Does that seem right to you?
It does seem right to me, because I think the idea with the partial stadium closure is that you punish a set of fans who are in that area. This was a cup game. Those fans weren't, those fans who are season ticket holders weren't there because it was a cup game. But more importantly, ultimately, the idea behind this is to punish those responsible.
Mm.
And fortunately, in this case, and I said, I've given credit to Juve, I'll do it again. They identified the two bans and they gave them the maximum bans they could.
Yeah.
One of these guys is banned for life. The other one, because he's a minor, they could only ban him for 10 years. But, you know, knowing that this guy's not in trouble to stay for 10 years, I think already sends a strong message. That's what you want to do. So I'm okay with them suspending this punishment. I would love them now to suspend the ban on Lukaku as well for instigating it with his goal celebration. When it's the same goal celebration he did against Benfica, and it's the same one he did for playing for Belgium against Sweden. Antoine Griezmann bags two goals as Atletico Madrid beat Almeria 2-1. Jules, six wins on the spin for Atleti, and Griezmann is most people's Liga MVP.
Yeah.
Why couldn't they do this all year long?
Because, I don't know. He starts slowly, that's for sure. Now he's on fire. I think, does he have like 14 goals and 8 assists or something like that?
Why couldn't Atletico do this all year long?
Because he didn't have pink hair before. He just had pink hair now in the last 6 months. And that's clearly the recipe for success. Let's not forget as well that he had a busy April, because on April the 8th, if you don't know that, it's the birthday of his children. Yeah, all three of them. They're all born on the same day. So that probably...
Imagine
the birthday party for all three of them at the same time and all the presents. But he's clearly happy, and you could see on his face, he says it as well. And now, I mean, they right behind...
2 points behind
Real Madrid.
You know who they play next?
Barcelona.
How about that? Playing Barcelona at the right time.
That's going to be huge.
They're doing all this without arguably their best defender, Reinildo, who's been out since February.
Yeah, of course. That is, yeah. He was back on Friday night, but Lazio beat Spezia away 3-0. Gav, I feel like we're not giving them and Mauricio Sarri enough credit. They're second in the table.
They're second in the table, which is unbelievable given the resources that they have. And they've done it with Ciro Immobile missing a chunk of the season. Now he's back, although now he's gone again because he ran his SUV. This was early on Saturday morning, I think, or Sunday morning. He ran his collision. He collided with a tram. Yeah. He's got a bruised rib. It's not, I mean, you saw the pictures of the SUV. It is absolutely totaled.
Yeah.
Either the tram was going way too fast or Immobile was going way too fast. Like, or they were both going way too fast.
He had his kids in the car or something.
He had his kids in the car as well. It's very early in the morning. I'm just glad that everybody's going to be okay. But yeah, Lazio, tremendous season from them. It was the Iñaki Williams show in the Bass Derby. Jules, tell me more.
I'm so happy for Iñaki Williams and for the Williams family overall, to be fair. Scored two goals. They won 2-0 against Real Sociedad at San Mamés. And when you remember Nico Williams getting abused after the defeat against Osasuna in the semifinal of the Copa del Rey and how much that impacted Nico Williams, of course, his brother Iñaki, the Williams family. For Iñaki now, who is not a typical goal scorer, who's not a prolific goal scorer, we've said that many times, but he's got other qualities. For him to come so big in a game of this magnitude is amazing. So well done to him. It was so good to see him, so happy, smiling, the whole fight. It was brilliant.
Second goal, pretty sweet. Yeah. And amazingly, Real Sociedad are still fourth.
I know, but I mean, they have been so bad since the turn of the year. It's crazy. Roma beat Udinese 3-0 and stay third. Gab, some love for José Mourinho, please.
Sure, why not? He's played a center forward in this game, Andrea Belotti, who has scored
even
as many...
Even Tammy scored, so come on.
Belotti has scored as many goals as you have this season.
Yeah.
Or
Richarlison.
Richarlison. That's crazy. All right. Yeah, look, they're third in the table. That could change if Juve gets their points reinstated, so then they move down to the fourth. They're there. The fans love them. I don't think the football's great. Back to that. But he's doing what he promised to do, and I think that's all you can ask for.
Yeah.
Igor Tudor celebrates his birthday with a 3-0 Marseille win over Troyes and they return to second place. Jules, does he believe in his heart of hearts that Marseille can win the title?
I don't think so. I think they will be just too happy with second place, which is a direct spot for the next season Champions League, which is what they want.
Don't they have the second highest budget in Ligue 1?
Yeah, they do, yeah. And they spend 30 million on Vitinha, who scored two goals, by the way. Finally, again, he was very happy because he hadn't scored since arriving in January.
Not as good as the other Vitinha.
Different profile than the other Vitinha, the PSG one, but he scored two. Well done to him. They played well for Tudor's birthday. 45, I think it was on Sunday. And considering they hadn't won at home at the Velodrome for so long, it was good to finally get a win. The Ultras, the Fanatics had their birthday as well, I think, and had plenty of flares and everything. It was great. So well done to them. But I think 8 points without playing
PSG, head-to-head,
it's probably too much. The Manchester United sale saga rumbles on, Gab. Another private equity firm, the Carlyle Group in the US, is reportedly interested in buying a stake. Gab, what does this mean?
Well, this means it's a little bit different, right? Because you had people who were willing to lend the Glazers money, in excess of $1 billion, to invest in the club or possibly buy out some siblings. And then you had people who wanted to buy the club outright.
Yeah, the whole club,
Like your boy Sir Jim. And the Qataris. Now the Carlyle Group, according to the story I saw, supposedly they want to acquire a minority share in the club. Now, that means you've got a lot of faith in the Glazers if you're acquiring a chunk of the club, but the Glazers stay in control. Seems a little odd to me. It's another thing for the Glazers to think about. Or maybe it's more financial PR people putting rumors out there.
Maybe.
Driving up the price. Who knows?
Exactly.
Leipzig beat Augsburg 3-2. But Jules, I know you want to celebrate Timo Werner for his two goals, especially the second one.
Yeah, because it's a lovely volley. I mean, you could always argue that maybe his first touch is not that great.
Oh, you think that's why he had to do that?
Yeah, to then make the volley to hit it. But still, I don't want to be mean to Timo because we've been mean on him so many times. And this time he's scored two, and the second one is really a beauty, even if, like me, you think that maybe the first touch is a little bit dodgy, but still, the volley is great. Well done to him. Leipzig, you know, marching on again, going back to winning ways, which was, I think, important. And if Timo can score and can have that kind of form until the end of the season, is going to be good for them to finish top four. Chelsea have reportedly held talks with Julian Nagelsmann. Gab, at least they're working on a new boss.
Yeah, face-to-face meeting after the video chat with Luis Enrique last week. Look, all I'm going to say is, who is driving this process? If it is Chelsea, it should be Christopher Vell, Lawrence Stewart, and Winstanley. As long as Paul Winstanley's around.
Still does something, we're not sure.
You know, you have to let the experts do their job, right? This can't be Todd Bowley, like, in the summer going on, like, oh, this guy seems good. Or, look, Agent X just recommended this other dude to me. Like, let these guys do their job. If they appoint the wrong guy, I think Nagelsmann in many ways is a fit. You know, two of those three guys have Red Bull experience. That's a fit with Nagelsmann too. But they have to run the process, and you have to trust the process in this case.
For sure.
And if it doesn't work, then you fire them.
Yeah.
James Rodriguez has rescinded his contract with Olympiacos, Jules, after Everton and Al Rayyan.
Really? Oh, yeah.
That's three straight clubs who have released him early. He's still only 31 years old. Mind-blowing.
I know. I mean, I'm surprised Olympiacos didn't release him earlier, to be fair, considering he was hardly playing. Not bringing much to the team anyway. Where do you go next? That's the thing. Well, you go back.
What happened to this guy?
I don't know. I think it can't be focused on football anymore. Otherwise, it just could not be the case that three clubs see the same things and release you early, because clearly your head is not there. Otherwise, they would not do that. And I think he was even lucky to come back to Europe after Al Rayyan and to go to Olympiacos. So now what? You go to MLS, you go somewhere South America, which, to be fair, has worked. Some people have gone at that kind of age, go back to play in Brazil, for example, and do well. I don't know. Does he really want to? What's the motivation? He doesn't seem to have much.
I don't know. It's always hard to tell from the outside. Is it some of the people who've been advising him? Has he fallen out of love with the game?
It's such a shame.
Is it a physical thing? I mean, you're never the greatest athlete.
No, true.
But yeah, he will go down as a big waste of talent.
For sure.
The way things stand.
For sure. Remember the Everton player, Gab, who was arrested in 2021 on suspicion of child sex offences? He has now been cleared and will face no further investigation. Yet we still can't mention his name.
That's right. So I won't say anything more about it other than say I don't understand this law where somebody can be fully cleared and there's no more, you know, all the charges against them dropped or whatever, exonerated, and we have to keep pretending like he doesn't exist, just the way we had to pretend that in 2021 when Everton suddenly disappeared from Everton. We had to pretend, just like we have to pretend because of other stories. I would have thought that once you're fully cleared, it could come out. I don't get it, but whatever. They're happy to this. Go for it.
Yeah.
Ugly story from MLS involving Red Bull's new striker who was suspended for 6 games after racially abusing an opponent. And Jules, his name is Dante, but I have no idea how to pronounce his last name.
Van Zier.
There you go.
Yeah, who did so well at Union Saint-Gilloise, and we remember last season and even earlier this season, we mentioned him and the club and how amazing the story was. Went to Red Bull in February, I think it was. And then this happened. Really, really, like, a terrible story, ugly story. Clearly found guilty, and I think he kind of acknowledged it too.
Well, it's interesting, the Red Bull fans at the game this weekend, they protested by, I think they staged a walkout during the game.
Yeah,
they protested.
Right.
They felt, you know, the club stance towards them wasn't necessarily strong enough.
Yeah. Gab, I know you love this story, but you discovered this weekend that Gael Angula, who's a former defender who played in Ligue 1 for Angers, for Bastia, for many, many clubs in all leagues as well, is now a referee in Ligue 1. And maybe that's the way forward then, having former pros turning into referees.
Well, for sure, I had no memory of whatsoever of him as a player. I had no idea, right? No, but
his brother as well played.
I bring this up because how often do you hear this, right? From like coaches, from players, from ex-footballers turned pundits continuously. Oh, well, they should have former players because they know the game. Referees don't know the game. And I think it's really, really stupid because, look, every referee's played a game at some level, right?
Yeah.
And they all go and complain. What I love about this guy, and look, I don't know, I'm assuming he didn't make that much money, but he said, I love the game so much, I can't play anymore. I can go into coaching maybe, but maybe I can be a good referee. And he goes out and he does that. And he climbed. He wasn't fast-tracked to the...
No, definitely not.
You know, he started on the lower divisions. And it's not... I mean, there was a suggestion recently that, you know, within 2 years, you can enter the pipeline. If you get trained. And then if you're good, 4 or 5 years, you go to the top flight. Yeah. And I wonder, all these ex-pros out there, like, do they not have the dedication to do this? All the ones...
Maybe not.
Because if you think about it, you know, if you referee, you can have a 10-year career earning decent money.
Really decent money. I saw figures actually the other day, how much they earn in Ligue 1, in Serie A, monthly, and then per game on top of their monthly wages too. It's really good.
Yeah, so... Well done, Gal Angula. Yeah. You know, leveraging his experience as a player.
And he's good as well. So it's not, like you said, it's not just that he's there because of his name. He's a good one. He's going to be really good.
Was his name, because I had no idea. Like, honestly, I have zero recollection. I just thought, like, oh, look.
He was not very good as a player. Okay. He's probably better as a referee than he was as a player. But yeah, well done to him.
Traveling Angers fans tried to put Mohamed Chan off his game when he took a penalty against them for Clermont this weekend, Jules.
That's right, Gab. I mean, not many of them have traveled. You know, Angers is having this horrible season. They're not mathematically yet relegated, but they will be. They will go down. They have 2 wins all season. But a few of them still travel from Angers to Clermont, which is not close. Probably a good 7-hour drive.
Clermont located in the town of Foot, right?
Clermont Foot, yeah, yes. Or Rugby Town, if you prefer, even. But the few of them who were there, they were 1-0 up, and then there's this penalty for Clermont, and the penalty is going to be taken in front of the away stand, where the few Angers fans are. So they decided, hey, why not do a Mooney and just show our bottom to see if maybe that can unsettle Mohamed Chan. It didn't. Sorry to. Yeah, I mean, you can check it out. It's a funny photo if you want to, if you like bottoms. He still scored. Yeah. Yes. So, you know, well, a good try, I guess. But. Big Walloon derby between Standard Liège and Charleroi this weekend in Belgium. Liège won 3-1, but that's not why we're talking about this game.
Yeah, look, I love when ultras get creative.
Yeah.
And the Charleroi ultras, they dressed up like exterminators, pest exterminators.
Yeah.
And they had sort of sacks of dead mice, they actually took the time to color in the standard Liège colors, which I think makes it even weirder and grosser, but must be a Belgian thing.
Hell of a
thing.
Preparation, though. Yeah, and, they were all red, and they threw the rats.
Yeah, and they dumped them at the Liège fans, who, of course, later complained, and they could be facing action. Look, there's animal cruelty involved. I wouldn't approve of it.
No, of
but
course.
Assuming there isn't, I thought this is pretty funny.
It is.
Jules, that brings us to an end, but we got to come back on Thursday.
Oh, the champion!
How about the huge games? Napoli and Milan, Chelsea and Real Madrid. Yeah. Bayern's inevitable comeback against Paris Saint-Germain. And how about little Inter?
Manchester City, you mean.
The little engine that
Little Inter against Benfica.
Manchester City, yeah. All the same. Until then, love the game, love your neighbor, love yourself.